He's 36 years old, and he's looking at his life now like, man, he's on his knees praying that hopefully he can live long to see his kids grow up and then to see his grandkids and to just to live a normal life. And it's sad.
It's the future.
Down and Distance
on WGNRadio.com.
Little toss. Here comes a gadget play. Randall L. He can throw. He was a quarterback in college. And he's thrown a touchdown to Hines.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of Down and Distance. Two dads talking sports. It's your boy, Jared Payton. Follow me on Twitter, at PaytonSun, PaytonSun. And my man, Sean Davis, my right-hand man, sitting across from me. Follow him on Twitter, SD2Mikes. We'd like to get it cracking here on Down and Distance, exclusively on WGNRadio.com. A lot of things to get into. I guess first down, I guess this really hits home to me, Sean, just because of, you know, reading stuff and following sports. You get a chance to really, you know, browse through all of the different stories that come across your Twitter feed, or if you have an app like Bleacher Report. Shouts out to all of our good friends over at Bleacher Report. Love those people, man. Everybody over there. Tina, the best. You get a chance to kind of look and see some of these stories, but when certain things that hit you closer to home because it's somebody that you know or somebody that you followed, it really does make you sit back and think a little bit. And you have to go to this story that came out in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette the other day, and former Thornton star, also Indiana grad who balled out, option quarterback, and then former, man, Steelers and Washington Skins, Antoine Randall L. Great piece about just life after football with him, and just kind of talking about how he's dealing with the effects mentally and physically. In the story, it talks about that he's having trouble even coming up and down stairs, and sometimes in the morning he has to walk down the stairs kind of sideways, hitting that rail and holding on to it, making sure that he can get down the stairs. And then talks about his wife having conversations with him about things that they talked about, that she has to repeat those things 3 and 4 times, and then in the morning so he can remember because he's losing his memory. And Sean, he says he regrets playing the game of football and that he wishes that he would have stuck with baseball. A lot of people don't know that he was drafted in the 14th round by the Cubs, and it was an opportunity for him to go play baseball. He could maybe be playing right now still. But he went to college because his parents wanted him to go to college, and he doesn't look past that. He's glad that he went to school. But over the years of playing football, he's 36 years old, and he's looking at his life now like, man, he's on his knees praying that hopefully he can live long to see his kids grow up and then to see his grandkids and to just to live a normal life. And it's sad. It's sad to hear these stories, Sean, about a guy who was a big inspiration and a big reason why I started playing the game of football.
Yeah.
It's tough that we're seeing this. Normally we hear these stories about guys, you know, 15, 20 years down the line. But this is a guy that's 36, 1 year older than I am, and he's already dealing with these effects. Just want to know your thoughts on when you came across this, you know, how did it affect you? Because I knew you watched him growing up as a youngster.
Well, you know, I go back with Twan as a colleague and a fan, not a colleague, but an associate as a fan, watching him play against Kevin Garnett and Ronnie Fields in the state championship game with that Thornton team and upsetting them in the semifinals, going on to win a state championship, and just following him, Melvin Eli, Napoleon Harris, Ty Streets that ended up in Michigan with the San Francisco 49ers, all of these guys played together. And you see the type of person he is, comes from a great family, went to Indiana, turned down Bobby Knight, didn't play basketball, played football. He was an option quarterback at Thornton. That team was solid all through his high school career. And then he goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. The question I asked off air, when you look at him, the way he played the game at his size as a wide receiver, the way he was expected to play the game, the way the game was played by Hines Ward. Smaller guys, but they didn't play the game as small guys that were just slot receivers. They were tough guys for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
and they loved the blocking. Hines Ward was his mentor.
Yeah.
So he taught him the game and how to play and how to prepare. So I think a lot of that goes into some of the problems he's probably having. Not just his size and not just the game, but the way he decided to play the game. And you respect it, especially with his size. But now, you know, on the flip side, you know, there's always consequences to everything that you do. And most people would say, I do it all over again. That's what's so shocking.
Yeah.
Most football players would say, if I had to choose, I would do it all over again.
But
for a guy that's well known in several circles in the National Football League to come out and say, I wish I had chosen baseball, guaranteed money, less injuries, and a sound mind after the game. Yeah, a bit of a shocking occurrence.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, for it to happen, I think a lot of people are kind of like, because when it came across the TV screen, you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
He actually said this?
And it's, we're starting to see he was talking too about, you know, 20, 25 years down the line, if he doesn't see football around. Football's going to be here. I think things are going to change over that course of time when we start looking 25 years down the line, because everything changes. You look at the game 25 years ago and you look at to where it is now.
Football doesn't have kryptonite right now.
No.
Social issues, not a kryptonite thing for the NFL. Any other issue, player issues, drugs, nothing has really hurt the growth of the National Football League.
No.
And until something turns the tide in that favor, I don't see the NFL stopping. No. And look, I hate to put it like this, but as long as there is poverty, there will always be a breeding ground.
It's true.
For the NFL.
I mean, we look at just you look at just the demographics, and you were just talking about it, how I'm with you on that point. But things are, we'll start to see numbers especially drop. And when you look at the kids playing and the youth playing football, we've already seen a decline of these young kids playing football. But we keep talking about this. We keep harping on it. Yeah, there's still guys that if you get a chance to be able to improve the lifestyle of your family and your parents and everybody else, man, we're always going to see football is going to be around. It's going to change a little bit. But you ask those guys about would they do it all over again? Yeah, they would do it. But would they, now that, you know, the next generations are coming up with their kids coming up, I think they really start to think about it wholeheartedly about, do I let my kids play this game? You know, everything that I went through or that I'm dealing with, do we let our kids play as they're having these discussions with their significant others? And I think that's the hard part, because that's what I deal with, you know, thinking about it now, watching my son grow up and play sports. What do I do? Do I steer him another direction? Do I just open the door, let him see everything that's going on, all the sports that are available? I mean, it's tough. But I do know this, that the game, and listening to guys that have gone through stuff like this, that are close, that, you know, I consider friends and people who I'm close with, this is tough to see. I mean, he's 36 years old. He's a year older than I am, and he's dealing with these issues. And this is stuff that I deal with, you know, not that I have dealt with the memory loss, with the, you know, the aches and pains. It's stuff that you go through. But you don't know. You know, you want to look at 20 years down the line where football is. I mean, I think as individuals and guys that have played the game, we think 25 years down the line of what our lives are going to be like. Are we still going to be around? You know, or how is this game going to impact us? And I just have an issue with people who, you know, the fans who always want to go back and say, well, these guys make millions of dollars. They know what they signed up for. Yeah, I get that. I mean, this would be a concern for me even if it wasn't football. If you're talking about just in an everyday job of people who deal with aches and pains and what they go through, it's not just football. I mean, everybody's job is different, and so I get it. But, man, to go and just say that and think that money is everything, it's really not. Having a peace of mind is everything, and it's
tough.
Doesn't
your purpose change as well?
Oh, definitely.
Your purpose changes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's kind of unfair to throw – this statement out there, and they'll say, well, you know going into the game what you're putting on the line. Yes, you know you're putting your body on the line, right? But you're putting your body on the line for livelihood, to be able to get yourself and the rest of your family from one social class to another, from one economic status to another.
For most of the players.
Once
like that.
The game stops, now your purpose for your health is just to live.
Yeah.
So it's hard to equate. You can think about it, but it's hard to really be able to know how bad you're going to be when your whole mindset is on changing the life of your family.
It's true.
It's kind of unfair to ask somebody at that point to properly weigh the pros and cons of playing the game. It really is, because the purpose at that point has nothing to do with living every day, being able to walk down the stairs. No, you can't really think about that, because in the moment, you're good. And in the moment, this is what you have to be able to improve life. It's a difficult thing. I think parents have an incredibly difficult job moving forward in this country, deciding whether or not their children are allowed to play football. Youth leagues, I think, will be hurt more than anything else. But from the high school level on up through, I think everything's pretty much going to stay the same. Because when you stay in certain towns, especially down south, football is...
It's king.
It's king. You grow up wanting to play for this high school.
All your, either if you have brothers playing, they
Absolutely.
All played, your dad played. I mean, it's about a legacy down south.
Yeah.
It's different.
It's different.
And that right now, when we look at the breeding ground of where some of the best athletes are that are playing in high school and college football, they're coming from down south.
Swing down from the Carolinas, go straight across and swing back up through California.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL is good.
I mean, that's where most of the players.
The NFL is good. Now you have the East Coast, which is heavy lacrosse.
Yeah.
Heavy soccer here in Illinois. We love football, but we don't love it the way they do in Florida, Texas, California.
Basketball.
Yeah. Basketball town.
Yeah, basketball.
Detroit, basketball town. Milwaukee, basketball.
Yeah.
New York, basketball.
Yeah. It's weird because you start, even over time, how things have changed too. Because when I was growing up, soccer was probably the best ever in this state at the time growing up when I was coming up, which was unbelievable. So we start to see how things change. And I think that's what, you know, as fans, as people, we're going to have to sit and watch how the sport changes over, you know, the next 20
years. And you have a difficult choice as well. Your son, he's very interested in hockey.
He loves it.
So
that's all he wants to talk about.
That's another heavy concussion, heavy collision type sport. You know, how do you tell him no?
It's hard not to.
When it's your passion.
Yeah.
How do you tell a kid no, you can't play football when that's his passion?
Yeah. I got to, you know, make sure that he has all of the materials and knows everything that he needs to know and all the information he needs to know, and to, you know, put him in the right spots, whether it's with coaching, whether it's with, you know, trainers, whatever it is that I can give him, if that's the road he wants to go down. So he can know, because that's where we look at back in my dad's day and age. Right.
Yeah.
They all played the game. It was like Iron Man football, but they didn't have the internet. They didn't have, you know, all the things to be able to look at and some of the studies that they're doing now. They didn't have that at their disposal. Now they do. These players do now. So I think we're starting to see these athletes be a little bit more conscious about everything and understanding what some of the long-term effects of some of the studies that have been done. And nothing is for certain now. We're still, to me, at the baby stages. Imagine what we're going to find out in the next couple of years about just more and more studies go on.
It's very dangerous.
Yeah.
Very dangerous. And I don't just mean that from a medical health standpoint. Just the topic in general in society is very dangerous. This thing can blow at any moment. The moment somebody dies on national TV. We always talk about it.
Ugh.
It's never happened. Whether it be because high school games are on national TV now.
Yeah. And we're seeing more and more high school
kids.
We just
had a kid here in Chicago die.
Yeah.
On the field.
It's crazy. That's what I want to know. We want to know. All the parents out there, if you played football, if you have a youngster who aspires and wants to play football or is in the game now, and as you're looking down the line of some of these things that are coming out and you see a hometown kid like Antoine Randle dealing with what he's dealing with, let us know. Leave comments below. I want to know what you think. Are you
my grandmother stopped me.
She did?
Yeah. She told my mom he can't play.
That's what my mom was saying about
me. I was mad at the time. But the only reason I wanted to play is because the rest of my friends were playing. It's the only reason. I didn't have the passion to play football like that. I was decent, but football was like my third favorite sport. I didn't have that passion, man.
Let us know. Hit us up on Twitter at DADpod. Also here on the Facebook page, man. Let us know, man. Leave the comments. We want to know what you think. Do you have issues with your kid playing sports, especially the game of football? Is it something that you want to steer them away from, or are you okay with them playing? How young will you let them play, or how young are they right now playing? Let us know. We want to know, just to kind of gather up some of this information so we can come back and talk about what parents are talking about and their feelings about the sport. Yes, exclusively on WGNRadio.com. It's Down and Distance, always converting. Hey!